A week after a mass shooting at the Fort Lauderdale airport, questions remain about why an Anchorage man with multiple domestic violence incidents and a documented mental breakdown was allowed to transport a handgun across the country. But much is unknown about Esteban Santiago. And as Alaska Public Media's Zachariah Hughes reports, law enforcement officials say Santiago's brushes with the law only look like warning signs in hindsight.
In a court hearing in March, Santiago gave short answers to Judge Gregory Motika as he took what's called a deferred sentencing agreement in a domestic violence case.
You understand you're giving up all those rights?
Yes, sir.
No one's forcing you to do this?
No, sir.
And you're not under the influence of any medication, drugs, or alcohol at the present time?
No, sir.
The agreement had Santiago plead to a lesser charge if he agreed to complete an anger management course and not engage in any violent behavior. The original charge, laid out by a municipal prosecutor, was from an incident 2 months earlier.
Mr. Santiago was with his girlfriend, GP. Mr. Santiago forced his way into the bathroom, breaking the door in the frame in the process, and hit GP on the side of the head.
Several times last year, Santiago had contact with police stemming from accusations of domestic violence. At a press conference in Anchorage a day after the shooting, Police Chief Chris Talley laid out a chronology of those encounters, none of which led to any new charges.
On October 21st, 2016, a physical disturbance allegation of strangulation. Officers investigated and no probable cause was established for arrest.
This came just weeks before Santiago went to the FBI and complained of mind control by government agencies, characterized by law enforcement as a mental health crisis and leading to a short stay in a treatment facility. At that point, the police held on to a handgun Santiago had with him, although they ultimately returned it a month later. There's speculation it was the same weapon he used when he allegedly opened fire at the airport, shooting 11 people. And while in retrospect the domestic violence incidents and breakdown might look like red flags, officials say that is a very different view from how things looked in real time.
It's very sad to say that what happened in this DV case is very par for the course that we see every single day.
Seneca Thino is Anchorage's municipal prosecutor. She says there are a lot of reasons police wouldn't have been able to make an arrest amid accusations of strangulation or assault. For one, police aren't able to review someone's full record while they're responding to an incident, which can make it difficult to spot a pattern of abusive behavior. And two, officers are trained to consult with a prosecutor over whether there's enough evidence to ultimately make a case down the line. Thino says without probable cause, there's really no recourse available to law enforcement.
We'll either say, we've got a lot of other cases we're going to put our resources into, so don't make an arrest now. Just document what happened, and there's not a lot else that we can do.
Does that happen a lot with DV cases?
It happens all the time with DV cases. Domestic violence cases are some of the most difficult, in part because they happen in the privacy of a home most of the time. And there oftentimes are not witnesses, and frankly, that's usually by design.
Thino doesn't see anything exceptional in Santiago's police record and describes the mental health crisis as coming out of the blue. Santiago went to police to retrieve his gun on November 30th, but they didn't hand it over for reasons that APD is still not made clear. But on December 8th, he got it back. And Thino says while this might look reckless in hindsight, firearms are treated like all property, same as a backpack or a phone. Unless it's being held as evidence, police have to return it.
They don't get to look back and say, well, yeah, you're kind of sketchy, right? You've had some things and we're not quite sure what's going on, and so we're going to hold on to your stuff because we're not comfortable with you. They don't have the legal authority to do that, regardless of what other incidents they've had with that person.
Even amid a mental health crisis, there's no law that would have kept Santiago from reclaiming his firearm unless he'd been officially declared mentally ill by a state judge. And that is a very high bar. Alaska doesn't have any unique laws when it comes to gun ownership, just the federal standards. Under those laws, anyone convicted of a domestic violence assault is prohibited from owning or transporting a gun. But when Santiago pled down to a delayed sentence on a lesser charge of creating a fear of injury, that federal provision wasn't tripped. In Anchorage, I'm Zachariah Hughes.